Why should we expect God to heal? We talk about healing. We discuss it. We pray for people. We expect them to be healed. But on what premise do we stand? What foundation? What are the bases for us to believe that? I want to say three simple things to you. Number one, it's God's nature. It's just as much his nature to heal as it is to save. It's his nature. From the time of the fall of man, God has provided for healing. Amen? It's his nature. God could never deny man that. Number two, it's imminent. When Jesus Christ died, wrapped in that death, not only was my soul salvation, but the healing for my body. And any man who preaches salvation without preaching healing is preaching half of the good news. Jesus came to not only save us, but to heal us. A great percent of his ministry was spent healing the sick. And number three, because of his compassion and love for men. Amen. With Christ knowing all of the agonies and the torture that was awaiting him at Calvary, all along the path to Calvary, he constantly ministered to people. I can't get over that. I go back to it in my own life. Amen. Sometimes when I'm tired and I'm weary, and I say, dear God, I just can't pray for anyone else. Lord, let them go the other way. Get me ahead of you. And then I think, Jesus Christ, knowing death was only hours away, he constantly kept in focus the needs of others. And I want to tell you something. I don't care who you are nor what your need is tonight. God is reaching toward you in love. I don't care how big a devil you've been and how far in sin you have gone. Tonight, God, in his mercy and love, is reaching for you. His compassion moves him to want to help you, to want to redeem you, to want to heal you. If there is anything that I'm getting more and more turned off to, it is the idea that God is punishing me for something. I know that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and men who hold righteousness and subject righteousness unto ungodliness and sin and evil. But to the person who applies, get up and call upon God, he turns that around. How many times did he stay the hand of judgment from Israel when Israel repented? Let me tell you something. When a person begins to call upon God, he doesn't stand back. God wants to see you happy a lot more than he wants to see you sad. God wants to see you rejoicing and with joy a lot more than he wants to see you despondent and discouraged. He wants to see your face literally glowing with his divine presence and power. He does not want to see you downcast. Tonight you have every right. I don't care who you are. You have every right tonight to believe and to expect God to heal your body. It may be cancer. It may be arthritis. It may be a broken limb. It may be a blind eye. It may be a deaf ear. It may be something wrong internally with your heart. It may be something with your blood. It matters not what it is. You have every right to expect to heal tonight, because just as much as he loves you to save you, he loves you to heal you. And he wants you to be healed. Amen. You say, well, Brother Gorman, if that is true, then why don't more churches preach it? Very simple. Because they don't have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not even Jesus himself preached healing until he was anointed of the Holy Ghost. He never healed a single person until after he was anointed of the Holy Ghost. It was following that anointing. And I don't care whether it's a Baptist, you fill a Baptist full of the Holy Ghost, and they'll pray for the sick. You fill a Catholic full of the Holy Ghost, and they'll lay hands on the sick. You fill a Methodist full of the Holy Ghost, they'll lay hands on the sick. You take a reprobate and get him saved and fill the Holy Ghost, he'll lay hands on the sick and expect God to heal them. Jesus Christ was anointed of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 said that Jesus went about doing good, healing all of those that were oppressed with the Holy Ghost. But he himself had been anointed of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, when he first stood to preach, he said, I have been anointed. The first time he stood up in the synagogue, Jake, and began to preach to him, he unrolled that scroll and turned to Isaiah. And there he began to read from the prophet Isaiah's writing about he has anointed me to preach. He has anointed me to set the captive free. Deliverance to those that are in bondage. Healing to those that are sick. He was sent to do that. But he never did it till he was anointed by the Holy Ghost. Amen? 3 weeks ago, I received a telephone call. I didn't know the gentleman. He said to me, he said, sir, would you come and pray for me? And I said, certainly I will. He said, well, I want to talk to you. I've got to talk to you. And I know you're a very, very busy man, and I'm not a member of your church. I don't even live in the city, not even in the state. But he said, sir, I've got to talk to you. Would you please come? And I said, yes, I'll come. And I went to the hospital, and I sat down beside his bed. He closed the door. The first man I ever was in there, that he gave the doctor's orders. Doctors came in, he says, doctors, you'll have to go. He said, I'm talking to the reverend, and he's more important than all of y'all. I mean, I'm just telling you what he said. In a few minutes, there was a man came in and said, it's time for you to take this breathing deal. He said, y'all come back later. I'm talking to the reverend right now. A few minutes, they came down with a wheelchair and said, we're supposed to take you to therapy. He said, I'm not going. And you tell them, don't send nobody else down here until the reverend comes out, because I've got to talk to the reverend. And I sat down beside the bed, and here's what he said to me. I thought it was some deep something that he really wanted to unfold to me. He run the doctors out. He run the nurses out. He run the young man out that was going to give him this breathing exercise. He run the person out, the young man that came there to get him, to take him to therapy. And here's what he said. He said, will you promise me that before I go to surgery, you'll come here and anoint me with oil and pray for me like it says in the Bible. He said, I asked my pastor to do that in the church where I go, and they laughed at me. But he said, I find it in the Bible. And I don't know much about that Bible, Reverend, but I know that's in there, and I believe it. And he said, I want you to pray, because it says there that if you anoint with oil and pray, two things will happen. My sins will be forgiven, and I'll be healed. And he said, I want to know my sins are forgiven before I go in there. Amen. And then he said to me, he says, they give me very little hope. My pancreas is eaten up with cancer. My spleen has got to be completely removed because it has cancer. And my liver has cancer. And he says, there's not much chance of me coming through this. He says, they've taken all of the tests, and now then they're going to operate. But if I don't come out of there, I want to know it all is well. And I want to do what the Bible says. And I said, sir, you can write her down. I'll be here with oil and pray for you. And I came and prayed for him with oil. Anointed him with oil and prayed. They took him in surgery. They opened him up. And I wonder how they're going to explain this. There ain't no cancer in there. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. And yesterday when I went into the intensive care unit where that he's recovering from the surgery, he put his arm around me and he says, you know what? He says, I want to talk in them tongues like you do too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Ah, oh, but let me tell you something. When you get to dabbling around with the gifts of God, with the power of God, you're going to want to get everything God's got for you. And that package includes the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Hallelujah. And the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead is the Spirit that quickens the body and brings healing and brings new life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You say, Brother Gorman, how did Jesus heal? Well, he laid hands on him. The scripture says, let me read some scripture to you. In Mark, it says, Mark 5:23, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come lay thy hand on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Mark 6:5 says, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Let me tell you, friends, there are times where the Spirit of God is flowing in such a beautiful way, and I believe it's going to happen here tonight before we walk out of here, that there are going to be people that will start receiving healing. You'll feel the pains go in your body. It'll happen all over this building. There are times when there's so much unbelief, until you have to lay hands on people that believe for them to receive. But don't ever get it in your head that unbelief is stronger than belief if the person who wants to receive it can believe. Glory to God. Every person in this building can doubt tonight, but if you dare to believe, he's going to fill your head to overflowing because you to believe, because all things are possible to him that believeth. Hallelujah. To the believer, that happens. Hallelujah. Mark 8:22. It said, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And the man was healed. Amen. Jesus laid hands on the sick. Not only that, but Christ healed also through the word. You remember when the centurion came to him and he said, Lord, I have a servant that is sick. Jesus said, I'll go pray for him. He said, oh no, I'm not worthy for you to come. Speak the word and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word. You remember whenever Jesus Christ was ministering, I believe it's in the 4th chapter of Luke, where that it says that he began to speak and he spoke to demon spirits and they departed. He spoke to diseases and they left. He spoke the word. Jesus not only laid hands on the sick, but he spoke the word. There were other times when Jesus Christ walked along and people pressed through the crowd that they might but touch him. And everyone that touched him, they were made whole. Why? Because they exemplified faith. Everybody in this building tonight can start laughing at you, but you can start in that balcony and you can start saying, Jesus is going to heal me. Jesus is going to heal me. And as you walk down out of that balcony, if you believe in your heart, then Jesus is going to honor your faith. Hallelujah. It's not because you're perfect, but it is because you believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The little woman that everything she had presses through the crowd, bumping into people. I don't know how long she followed Jesus. I don't know how long she struggled. I don't know whether it's an hour or 2 hours or maybe a half a day. But finally she got close enough to him that she touched but the hem of his garment. And Jesus stopped and turned around and said, somebody touched me. At the moment that she touched him, he was made whole. The scripture says when she knew she was found out, man, when a person gets a touch, you light up like a light bulb. You're going to find it out. Amen? Hallelujah. When the master puts his hand upon you or you touch him. But there were others that they pressed him that the master might just touch them. See, some touched him, others he touched. And as many as he touched, I remember one evening it said, there had been a man that had been healed. And then there was a man with a lunatic spirit that he cast the devil out. And boy, the noise spread abroad. And by the time the sun was going down, their people were gathered around. And if I understand the scripture correctly, Jesus conducted a healing service that lasted all night long. Because it said when day came, and when we started out, he says when evening was come, so he must have healed the sick all night. They started bringing the sick. And there were so many of them that Jesus just walked along, and as many of them as he touched, they were made whole. Hallelujah. They brought their relatives. They brought their friends. They brought the people there, and they were made whole. And the next morning, whenever it began to break day, Jesus Christ slipped away into a desert place that he might rest a little while. I want you to know that Jesus is moved tonight. He's moved tonight. When a mother brings her child, whenever a father brings a child, whenever an individual comes in the stead of someone else, just as a centurion did. Oh, some people say, I don't believe in praying for people in poverty. Well, friend, you need to go back and read the book here, because there were numbers of times that there were individuals that received a touch from God when they were not there because somebody else came in their stead. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember one occasion a dad came. He was so torn. His child was sick. And he came to the master. But the master got detained. And so while Jesus was walking along, somebody came and said, don't bother the master. She's dead. Jesus, he heard him talking. No doubt saw the dad as he was weeping. He said, she's not dead. She's asleep. And remember what I preached to you this morning? What we call death, Jesus calls sleep. And don't get me started on that, because I'm working on a gym band today. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because the man that is dead, as far as the scripture's concerned, you can't wake him up. But if I die, I'm going to wake up one morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to wake up, because the dead in Christ shall awake and shall rise. And he said, she's not dead. She's asleep. And Jesus went in and had a little prayer with him. And she sat up and wanted something to eat. Amen. I remember on another occasion, there was a child. And whenever the dad got back home, he said, what time did it happen? I said, well, at the very time that he spoke, he comes in many ways. It doesn't matter with the Lord how he heals you. The real decision is left up to you.
How do you want it? See, your faith, he honors your faith. If you believe, you've got to have a touch that you will never receive even until somebody touches you. 99% of the time, that's true. If you believe that all you've got to do is act upon the scripture, you can act upon the scripture and you can be healed. Your faith reaches out to God. And you hear what I'm saying to you? How many times did Jesus Christ say, "Thy faith that may be healed"? The little woman came, and Jesus Christ, if ever a person should have been insulted, if ever a person should have been turned down and got frustrated and angered and despised Jesus and run away, it should have been this little woman. She said, "Oh, Master, my daughter needs help." And Jesus completely ignores her. And then she keeps on, and finally he turns around and says, "Don't you know that it's not meat for me to give the children's bread to dogs?" And she said, "Oh, but Master, here he calls her a dog." I said, "Well, when a person's got a different nature." Amen? And they know they're coming at you from it. Sometimes when I work in the theology, I know the people working with me, they don't understand what I'm doing. But sometimes they'll say, "This one, Brother Rum, I said, no, I'm going this way. This one, Brother Rum, I said, no, I'm going this way." That happened 4 or 5 times this morning. But this one needed to stand there a little longer to see a little more happen, so their faith would be a little stronger so they could receive it. See? Because Jesus Christ knew you. He knew this woman had faith, and that faith was going to be exemplified. Several times Jesus spoke, and he says, thy faith is such for this good. Thy faith. You say, "Well, Brother Gorman, what about in Nazareth? When Jesus was there, it said that he could do no mighty works there because of unbelief. It was because the people doubted. They were hung up on who he was. Isn't that Joseph's son? Isn't that Joseph's son? Isn't that the boy that we used to see around here, the carpenter? Didn't he used to work down the carpenter? Isn't that the individual? Is there any good thing that can come out of Nazareth?" Who he was, they were robbed of a blessing. And many people today are robbed of blessings because they get their eyes on the person and not on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord can take anyone, and if they're willing, he can. That person can become a channel through which God can flow his power. He can take a drug addict and clean them up, and they can become a mighty torch for the glory of God. He can take an alcoholic. He can take a gambler. He can take a thief. He can take a liar. He can take a homosexual. He can take anyone who's willing to dedicate their life unto him. He can turn their life around. He can fill them with his power. And great and mighty works can be done in the name of Jesus, because that person is a channel through which God moves. Amen. Sometimes people say, "Oh, but Brother Gorman, I'm not really sure that person can do it." It's not that person. It's God in that person. And your faith, hallelujah, your faith, when your faith rises up, when your faith reaches out, when your faith comes to that point of falling, and you can tell that sinner there to fight. Because your faith is up. Your faith is up. Now let me tell you some things that will hinder you from receiving from God. One is to ignore his word. You can't ignore God's word. You can't just turn your back upon his word and expect to receive it. Another thing is unbelief. If you have unbelief, you can't receive God. I remember a few weeks ago, the Lord spoke to me one night. I knew that there were some people that had unbelief concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are two kinds of unbelief. There is that unbelief that they do not believe because they have not seen and they have not understood but they're willing to accept it if they can see it. If they can actually witness it, they're willing to accept it. Then there's that unbelief that you can do whatever you wanted to and they will not change. But there is an unbelief that a person is sincere. They don't believe, but they're willing to change if they can see. And I sense that. And I said, I'm going to pray for some people to receive the Holy Spirit. I said, I'd like for about 10 people that want the Holy Spirit to come down the front. And in just a few moments, there were, I don't know how many lives there. And I said, now the Lord tells me that there are many people here that you have never seen a person receive the Holy Spirit. You want to receive it if it's for you. You're not turned off completely to it, but you've got to understand it better before you can receive. I want all of you people to line up right over there in that aisle. Line up there. And it wasn't but a few minutes, so there was about 30 or 40 people there. It was at a 4 o'clock service on a Sunday afternoon. And then I asked those people to come down and stand there and watch me. And as soon as one received you, I'd turn around and lay hands on this one, he'd receive you. I'd bring another one up, and I'd pray for this one. I'd turn around and lay hands on that one, pray for this. And every one of those that wanted to be received but didn't believe totally, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit while it was standing there. Why? Because their unbelief was that based upon lack of knowledge, but they were willing to understand. There may be some of you that you wanted divine healing, but you didn't know that you could receive. You thought you had to become perfect. You thought you had to become an angel before you could receive. That is a truth. He is moved by faith. The person that believes in him, the person that dares to trust him, the individual that dares to believe him, that's the individual that receives. And then there's another spirit that I want to talk to you about. And that's an unforgiving spirit. A person that will not forgive. You can't be healed. There's no need for you to walk down here tonight for healing if you're not willing to forgive. And I believe of all the people I pray for, more people fail to be healed because they hold deep-seated grudges and resentment. I sense it, I talk to them, that you just can't be healed as long as you've got a grudge or resentment or bitterness in your heart towards someone else. There's no way you can. There is no way you can have the cut of God. That's got to go. That's got to go. And then, as your known sin, that sin that you know is there, you have to repent of it. You have to repent of it. And as you repent of that sin, then nothing stands between you and God, and you can receive your healing. Amen? And though you may have sin in your life, if you come forward for healing, as you are prayed for to receive healing, you can receive forgiveness at the same identical time. Amen? Hallelujah. Why do I believe that Jesus Christ is willing to help you tonight? Because for this purpose was he manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And I want you to listen to me very close now as I close. You know what I think Jesus is doing tonight? I think that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's saying, come on. I think the angels in heaven are saying, Come on. Because they know that it's all up to you. It's all paid for. Every bit of it paid for. But Jesus wants to meet your needs.